I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. That was a good segment, Bob. We had Gabby from a beer. We had our pasty guy, right?
Oh, my gosh. So, you actually did that.
I did that. Yeah, exactly.
Pasty.
Well, that's Flatlander talk, right? Yeah, you're not from the UP if you don't say pasty. But anyway, we got a couple things we want to cover in this segment as well. We do this every holiday. I hope we haven't beaten it to death, but it's worth mentioning again. One of the premier dishes that a grilling guy can do for the holidays for his family is a standing rib roast.
Yeah.
And I've got a little variation
of
it.
Aren't they gorgeous?
They are. They're wonderful.
I mean, one of the best things you can do is walk out with your family there with a great big platter and have that monster sizzling on top of it, just
right.
Proud.
Right.
And everybody's dying for you to get that stinking thing to the table so you can carve it because it's been smelling up the house for hours.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, don't open the oven.
Right. There's a couple methods. You can cook them fast. You can cook them slow. I'm a slow cooker. I prefer it. I just think it just makes the meat so savory and so good. I know last year when we did this, we had a chef on that grilled it at 500 degrees, and he gave it like 4 minutes per pound. And then, so if you had a 10-pounder, 40 minutes, that roast was done.
Who was that?
And that was crusty on the outside. I think it was when you were on holiday, and I had a chef on.
Remember,
but it was a 500 degree, and I was like, "Wow, I just don't know."
And how did you try it?
No, I didn't because it was just his recipe. He was talking about it.
So he just told you about it and didn't bring you any?
That's correct. It was a phone call. It was one of those deals, you know.
An idiot.
But anyway, so Maureen's prime rib. It's on the Grilling Guys website.
Yes.
But walk us through it, if you would.
I'll do a little caveat here. It's not actually hers. She got it from, like, the Grand Rapids Press when they published Duba's prime rib recipe, when Duba's went out of business.
Oh, yeah. Legendary restaurant in Grand Rapids.
Legendary prime rib. I mean, you didn't get anything else when you went there. You're going to get the prime rib because it was so dang good. Expensive place, and it was always prime. It was beautiful stuff.
Right.
And at least get a choice prime rib when you get one. You don't have to buy a prime.
That'll run you $4 or $5 extra a pound if you're going to get prime. But they're around. And I mean, if it's a special occasion, everybody's staying home this time, you know? So whatever that looks like for you, you know, it might be worth just to celebrate a little bit. But anyway,
yeah,
go with it, Bob. Tell me what it's about.
Yeah. So it's pretty gorgeous. If you're going to put it in a smoker, of course, you're going to have a little different effect. And I might say go a little easy on the flour. But basically what it is flour, basil, onion powder, garlic powder, thyme, Lowry's, and sage.
And that's a rub for the outside of it?
Yep, that simple. And you mix it all up with that flour, and it sort of packs to it, and the sweating or the moisture of the meat kind of turns it into a little bit of a mud as you're packing it on.
Mm-hmm.
So it wants to cling.
Great.
Now, as you're baking it, that's great. As you're smoking it, I've always felt like that crust got a little too much of the smoke. So if you're smoking it, I'm going to tell you to consider leaving the flour out.
Right.
You won't need it.
The flour is absorbent.
It is.
Right.
You won't need it. And it might have a bad impact on the smoke. I can't say that I've ever smoked one with the flour, but I might have. I can't remember.
Here's the deal: this is Maureen's dish,
yes.
And just like your turkey, she takes over on this one, right? If you want it smoked, smoke it. But if you're going to do it in the oven recipe, because what you're talking about is the smoker's not going to get hot enough to make that crust on there with the flour in it crisp up.
Well,
and you want it to be flaky.
They're talking
crispy.
About 325 degrees on this recipe,
right?
So it doesn't matter if it's on a smoker or in your oven. It's 325 degrees.
Yeah, you don't. But you usually smoke at 275. That extra 50 degrees makes a difference.
Well, not if it says 325. And I would tell you, if you do it at 325 on a smoker, you'll get less smoke and more people might like it. Because there are some things that people don't want much smoke on.
Well, a lot of things, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And... Yep. A piece of meat like this is $20 a pound or whatever. You're going to be careful with it.
Right.
This is one time I'm going to follow a recipe.
I call bull on that, but I'm okay, whatever. Yeah.
I'm a skeert.
I've sent you thousands of recipes, and I've never seen you follow one of them.
Come on.
Jeez. Come on now. So, all right.
Come on, man.
So you put that in there, and you're what's the internal temperature you're going to cook that thing to?
Oh, I'm going to probably bring up the center to 132, 134, somewhere in there.
So you're medium, right?
No, that's going to be medium rare.
Okay, because won't it rest and gain a little?
If I'm in the center, it might a little bit. I'm not gonna cover it. I'm gonna pull it out, and I'm gonna put it on a rack, and bring it out to the table, and I'm gonna carve it in front of everybody because they like to see that.
Well, sure, it's part of the show, man.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, what a lot of people do is they'll have the butcher detach the ribs, and I'm kind of a fan of that. I like roasting it without the ribs on it and doing the ribs separate because then that roast gets equal temperature all the way around.
Sure.
And now, you don't have that big mess at the table trying to
carve
up bones and ribs. And yeah.
Yep.
So that's personal preference.
Now, do you trust the ribs back to the roast when it's cooking?
No, Maureen does, but if I'm doing them, I'm just going to do the roast. And then I'm gonna rub those ribs up on their own, and I'm gonna cut them into singles, rub them, and smoke them individually. And then you got a killer hors d'oeuvre.
Right.
Because most of the meat's been taken off.
Sure, most,
but there's
not
still
all, but
plenty.
Right.
There's still plenty.
Exactly.
On
there. And the fat that's
sounds
close
so
to the
good.
Oh yeah, man, my mouth's watering when you're saying this. But
yeah.
So, is the white sauce is that for the meat or are you doing that for a side?
Yeah, it's basically there's several variations of it, but most people with prime rib like a little horseradish sauce.
Right.
And there's several ways you can do it. Everybody says their way's right. I don't know which way's right. I've done it so many ways. They all taste pretty good. If you have horseradish, sour cream, and mayo,
can't go wrong.
All you need.
Right.
A little garlic salt, I think.
Right.
And that's all you put in it.
Yeah, during the break, we were talking about a little white sauce I made last night for cordon bleu, but it would work on this too. Super simple. You make your roux, right? Butter and flour, salt and pepper in there. You get the butter melted, drop a couple, 2-3 tablespoons of flour in there, just enough to get your roux going. And then I put a boursin cheese, B-O-U-R-S-I-N-E, I think it's called. But anyway, they come in a little box, little itty-bitty box, a round thing.
That's a foil tub inside.
Yeah, it's soft. And I put one of those in there, broke it up, mixed it up with that roux, and then thinned it with white wine. Simple. Just those ingredients. That's it. Thinned it down so it was a little saucy.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, and then I drizzled it over top of the cordon bleu that I had made in the oven, as well as asparagus. I grilled some asparagus, and oh, man, it was fantastic.
Quickly, how'd you do the cordon bleu?
Rolled it up. I hammered it out with a meat hammer. Chicken breast underneath a layered ham, really thin cut ham, Swiss cheese, rolled it back up, wrapped it in cling wrap, right? Saran, and put it in the refrigerator for about 30 minutes to let it solidify, took it out, and then rolled it in flour, egg wash, panko crumbs, put it on the oven rack and took it 325 for about an hour.
Were they gorgeous?
Oh.
Did you take pictures?
No. We just ate the hell out of them. That's all we did. Anyway. All right. Coming up next, the holidays are coming. It's gift for the griller time. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com. Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.